Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories, trends, and discussions happening on Hacker News. I am Sarah, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Mike.
Hey everyone, it is great to be here. Today is Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026, and we are on episode number 464. We have got a really fascinating lineup today, covering yesterday's top stories from July 21st. The AI landscape is shifting in some pretty dramatic ways, and the Hacker News community had a lot to say about it.
We really do have a packed show. We are going to be talking about a rather ironic security incident involving OpenAI and Hugging Face, Google's quiet release of its new Gemini Flash models, and a massive cultural shift for ChatGPT as they officially roll out an advertising platform. Plus, we will look at Alibaba's new Quen image model that is completely changing online shopping. And finally, we'll wrap up with something a bit more grassroots, an open source ecosystem for e-ink readers called Free Ink.
Let us jump right into that first story. It hit over 900 points on Hacker News yesterday. OpenAI and Hugging Face published a joint disclosure about a security incident that happened during a model evaluation. And honestly, the details of how this unfolded are just objectively funny, and the HN comments absolutely jumped on it.
They really did. So the context here is that OpenAI was trying to run some forensic analysis and security evaluations on Hugging Face's infrastructure. To do this, they needed to simulate real cyber attacks, you know, submitting large volumes of exploit payloads, command and control artifacts, that sort of thing. They initially tried to use frontier models behind commercial APIs to run this analysis.
But it failed completely, and the reason it failed is the punchline. The safety guardrails of those commercial providers blocked all the requests. The APIs could not distinguish between an authorized incident responder doing legitimate security testing and an actual malicious attacker. The guardrails did their job a little too well.
Exactly. So what did OpenAI have to do? They had to pivot and run their forensic analysis on GLM 5.2, which is an open-weight model, on their own local infrastructure. A user named Foo12Bar quoted this exact section from the Hugging Face blog and called it freaking hilarious, and it really is. The world's leading closed model AI company had to use an open weight model to bypass their own industry safety filters just to do their jobs.
It sparked a massive debate in the comments. One user pointed out that there is something in the story for everyone to validate their own worldview. If you are against heavy guardrails, this is your proof that operators need access to raw models that do not constantly question their prompts. But if you are in the AI alignment camp, you look at this and think, well, if we just align the models a little bit better, they would understand the context of a security researcher versus a hacker.
Right, and then there is the whole operational security angle. A user named Net Instructions brought up a great point, asking why a frontier lab like OpenAI is building these systems if they cannot even get a secure containment environment right in the first place. It sounded like there was very little defense in depth. If you are testing offensive capabilities, having a secure sandbox is step zero.
The conversation also drifted into the geopolitical and regulatory side of things, which is unavoidable in 2026. People are looking at the heavy restrictions on models like Anthropic's Fable, which had its filters turned up to absurd levels recently due to administration pressure, and comparing it to the rapid rise of Chinese open-weight models. There is a real fear on Hacker News that overregulation is just going to act as protectionism for failing incumbents, while the open-weight community, running on alternative hardware, just keeps accelerating.
It is a perfect storm of security, policy, and the open versus closed debate. And speaking of the rapid pace of model releases, let us move to our second story. Google just introduced Gemini 3.6 Flash, 3.5 Flash Lite, and 3.5 Flash Cyber. This post pulled in over 600 points.
What's really interesting here is what Google did not announce. There is no mention of a Gemini 3.6 Pro model. It's all about the Flash tier. And the Hacker News community immediately started reading the tea leaves. A user named Postal Coder speculated that the lack of a Pro model means one of three things. Either the big model is too expensive to run, Google doesn't have to compute to serve it at scale, or it has too many alignment issues to release to the public.
Another user chimed in with a fourth, probably more realistic option. Google knows their big model underperforms ChatGPT 5.6 and Anthropic's Fable, so they are focusing on where they can actually win, which is speed and efficiency. If you look at the artificial analysis benchmarks that were floating around the thread, 3.6 Flash is solidly middle of the pack for raw intelligence, but its output speed and time per task are off the charts.
and speed is becoming the real battleground. We are seeing this massive commoditization of smaller models. The comments brought up DeepSeek V4 Flash, which has been making huge waves. It feels about as smart as Claude Sonnet 4.5, but it costs pennies. We're talking 9 cents per million tokens on OpenRouter. When you have Chinese labs using incredibly clever hybrid attention research to drive inference costs into the floor, the US models simply cannot sustain their massive profit margins on the lower tier models.
But there was a really strong counterargument in the thread from a user named Adventured. They pointed out that people have been predicting the death of OpenAI and Anthropic at the hands of cheap open weight models for over a year and a half now, and it just hasn't happened. Yes, the open models are cheap, but running a true GPT 5.6 equivalent takes enormous resources. Most enterprises don't want to manage that infrastructure. They just want to pay as they go. So while the hacker crowd fawned over local models, OpenAI just keeps quietly piling up millions of enterprise subscriptions.
Which leads us perfectly, and I mean perfectly, into our third story. OpenAI is officially launching an advertising platform. The URL is simply ads.openai.com. This got nearly 600 points, and the comment section was, well, you can imagine.
It is the moment everyone feared but knew was coming, the inshittification of ChatGPT.
Exactly. The top comment was actually from Vlad, the founder of Cocky Search. He pointed out that 7 years ago, they started the You Are Not the Product movement for search. And now that the paradigm has shifted from search engines to AI agents, that movement is more important than ever. As he put it, an agent is only worth trusting if it works for you and nobody else. The second an advertiser gets between you and the answer, that trust is completely gone.
That comment really resonated with people. There was this beautiful, almost utopian vision laid out by another user, Echelon. They said they want a personal agent that sits between them and the entire internet. An agent that strips out the ads, the clickbait, the algorithm spam, the cookie banners. Just a pure butler-like AI whose only objective is to serve the user, not to sell them things or make them angry for engagement. They said they would gladly pay $1,000 a year for an internet condom like that.
I love that phrase, an internet condom. But someone else rightly pointed out that being willing to pay $1,000 a year just gives big tech more incentive to keep inshittifying the base internet. It becomes a protection racket. You pay the premium to avoid the garbage they created.
It really makes you wonder if the golden age of LLMs is already ending. We had this brief window where it was just pure utility. Now we are going to see sponsored answers. Imagine asking ChatGPT for the best database for your startup, and it subtly nudges you toward a provider because of an ad placement. It completely destroys the utility of the tool as an objective reasoning engine.
And the irony is, LLMs were supposed to be the Google killer, but if ChatGPT just becomes another ad-supported billboard, it leaves the door wide open for a new startup to disrupt them, just like OpenAI disrupted Google. The tech industry really is just a flat circle.
It really is. And speaking of distorted reality, let us talk about our fourth story. Alibaba released Q1 Image 3.0. The tagline is rich content, authentic details, deep knowledge. It scored about 550 points.
On the surface, this is an incredibly impressive image generation model. But the discussion on Hacker News immediately zeroed in on how this is going to be used, specifically in e-commerce. The model is being heavily pushed for online shopping. You know, upload a picture of yourself and the AI will generate an image of you wearing a specific shirt or dress.
But a user named Mindy pointed out how weird and deceptive this actually is. These models are designed to sell products, so they are always going to make the clothes fit your body perfectly. They will render you in flattering lighting. It completely defeats the purpose of trying to see how a garment actually fits in reality.
The thread spiraled into a fascinating discussion about the death of truth in advertising. One commenter said they can easily envision a world 50 years from now where truth in advertising is just a lost, idyllic fantasy that people feel powerless to regain.
And we are already seeing it happen. People were sharing wild stories in the comments about Facebook Marketplace and Etsy. Sellers are using AI to generate images of cheap, flat-pack MDF furniture from China, but they place it in these stunning AI-generated mid-century modern living rooms. They mess with the scale, so a tiny 4-foot shelf looks like it is 6 feet tall and built of solid walnut.
Yeah, one user actually used ChatGPT to investigate a suspicious Etsy listing. The AI analyzed the image, found the original cheap item, and pointed out that the AI-generated living room had impossible geometry, like baseboards overlapping in ways that violate the laws of physics. Real estate agents are doing it too, taking photos of tiny apartments and using AI to add natural light that does not exist, or changing the view out the window from a brick wall to a private garden.
It is honestly exhausting. It feels like we are entering an era where you simply cannot trust any image you see online before buying something. You have to assume everything is a hallucination designed to extract your money.
Which makes our final story today feel like a breath of fresh air. It's about Free Ink, an open ecosystem for e-readers. This got nearly 500 points, and it is just classic Hacker News catnip.
It really is. Free Ink is an open source project focused on creating alternative firmware and hardware ecosystems for e-ink devices. The community has been rallying around these micro e-readers lately, specifically devices like the Xtink X4 and X3. These are incredibly small, pocketable devices with weak processors and minimal hardware. No apps, no notifications, just pure reading.
The comments were full of people who have bought these little devices and are flashing custom firmware onto them. People are using operating systems like Crosspoint, WitchReader, and CrossInk. They love how simple the interfaces are.
There is a real pushback happening against modern device trends. One user noted how ridiculous it is that phones keep getting bigger and heavier while digital book readers are getting smaller. People just want a device that fits in their palm and does exactly one thing well.
But of course, because it is 2026 and we cannot have nice things without a fight, the biggest pain point in the thread was DRM, digital rights management. People love these open devices, but getting legally purchased Kindle books onto them is a massive headache. You have to strip the DRM, convert the files to EPUB, and manually transfer them over.
And that sparked a whole debate about ownership. A user named Brian K. White made a really blunt point. He said, if you buy a book from Amazon, you know the deal. You are locked into their ecosystem. If you want open access to your files, you either have to stop buying from Amazon and support publishers who sell DRM-free books, or you have to accept that you are going to spend your weekends running Python scripts to liberate your own property.
It is the classic hacker dilemma. We have the technology to build these beautiful, minimalist, open-source reading devices, but the legal and corporate frameworks make actually using them a chore. Still, it is so encouraging to see projects like Free Ink thriving. It shows there is still a strong appetite for technology that respects the user and focuses on simplicity.
Absolutely. It's the perfect antidote to ad-supported AI and hallucinated furniture. And I think that's a great place to wrap up today's show.
Definitely. Thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 464. If you want to dive into any of these discussions, you can find all the links to the original Hacker News threads in our show notes.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from the Hacker News front page. Until then, keep hacking, and maybe double-check the dimensions on that couch you are about to buy online. See you tomorrow.